programming on KSTK is provided by First Bank, helping customers access their accounts electronically using online banking, mobile check deposit, online bill pay, and more. First Bank, the one who's here.
In local weather today, it's mostly sunny with a high near 61 degrees and calm winds becoming west around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 42 degrees and southwest winds around 5 miles per hour becoming calm. And tomorrow, which is Saturday, expect a 30% chance of rain, mainly after 10 a.m. Increasing clouds with a high near 54 degrees and southeast winds around 5 miles per hour. In regional news, around 100 people, many wearing red, flooded the sidewalks of Petersburg's downtown Wednesday. They were marching in support of increased state funding for education. Bipartisan education legislation that would have increased the state's per student funding formula by $680 was vetoed by Governor Mike Dunleavy last month. A veto override failed by one vote. An operating budget with $175 million in one-time education funding has passed the House and seems to have support in the Senate. The one-time funding is equivalent to a $680 per student increase. Dunleavy can line item veto some or all of that funding. Petersburg's protest event was part of a statewide day of action organized by the Alaska branch of the National Education Association, a union of more than 10,000 public education employees statewide. People in more than a dozen other communities around Alaska participated in protest events, all of which took place outside of school hours so that student learning would not be disrupted. KFSK's Hannah Floor caught up with the downtown crowd and shares this audio postcard.
I'm Eleanor. I'm here because I've seen the problems that not having enough funding causes, and I don't want that to be our future. We lose our really, like, our elective programs. We lose a lot of the things that make our school special. We lose more advanced classes, and all of these are really important to creating our school culture and giving back to our community. And we can't do that if we don't have enough funding.
I'm Sue Paulson, and I'm in support of keeping the basic student allowance at the state of Alaska higher than it is today. It's been flat for so long, we can't afford to pay the
teachers. What's wrong with the state? The borough is great.
You don't have any kids in the school system. You're not a teacher. Why does this matter to you?
Well, I would like to have our town be full of educated people, and I want for the kids. You know, the governor and the legislature let the kids down this year. They should be ashamed, and they should be immediately rushing to their computers and typing in that larger number and passing it out this year.
Education!
My name is Joe Willis, and my beautiful wife is an educator. All of our kids have went through the school system. We still have one that's got 4 years left. And there's been no change in funding since our child that has been out of school for a couple of years was just going into junior high.
I'm Cindy Lagadakis. I'm here because I support education and I support Petersburg schools. We're having hiring challenges. We have maintenance issues we need to deal with. We have more complexity in dealing with students. Life is more complex than it was when I was a student, and there are more things that need to be taught in a more complicated way, and we can't do that without funding.
I'm Elsa Winterstein, normally known as Mrs. Winterstein, and I teach high school English and drama. I think that, you know, the school, the district, the borough, we're all on the same page when it comes to funding for our kids. Because, I mean, what makes our children better makes Petersburg better and gives us a stronger future here in the state. So I think it's a no-brainer to be supporting raising of the base student allocation.
The borough is great. What's wrong with our state? My name is Cora, and I'm in first grade.
And will you tell me what your sign says?
We will
remember.
Remember in
November.
We will remember in November.
What's wrong with our state? The borough is great. What's wrong with our state?
The Eleanor we heard from is Eleanor Candle, a junior at Petersburg High School. As a note of disclosure, both Eleanor Candle and Cindy Lagadakis are volunteer DJs at KFSK. In other regional news, talks are stalled between Petersburg's teacher union and the school board. The two groups have been negotiating a new contract for teachers since January. Petersburg School Superintendent Erica Clute Painter is the spokesperson for the school board's negotiation team.
It is necessary to look at a very reasonable increase, and we have made a generous offer in a time that that's fiscally challenging.
After the two sides were unable to reach an agreement last month, they brought in a mediator. Clute Painter told KFSK that mediated negotiations are rarely necessary in Petersburg, but even mediation hasn't helped close the gap. Union reps say one of the main sticking points is that teachers' salaries haven't kept up with the increased cost of living. Teachers have gotten a 3% salary increase over the last few years at 1% per year. But they say that because inflation has increased about 15% in that time, they need a salary increase to match that. Otherwise, their salaries are essentially decreasing. Brian Smith is the husband of a Petersburg school teacher and has a kid in the school system. He spoke to the school board at last week's meeting.
We are on track to being embarrassingly close to having the lowest teacher pay in the state. We will not be able to recruit high quality educators solely on the basis of our community and schools being desirable. Teachers can't pay their monthly mortgage or rent on desirable.
Petersburg teacher salaries currently start near $47,000 on the low end. Clute Painter says the district's latest offer would increase those salaries by 15% over the next 3 years, but teachers at the high end would get an increase of 8% over the next 3 years. Increases would not be adjustable for ongoing inflation during that time. And union reps say that even the highest salaries in the district's offer are low compared to salaries across the state. Clute Painter says that while she agrees that low-end salaries need to increase substantially, the district can't afford to make up for inflation for all teachers. That's because the Petersburg district is facing a tight budget next year. Funding from the state has been flat for years. The district is drafting its budget for next year with the assumption that funding won't increase. The budget contains cuts in every department, including fewer teachers and decreased activity travel. No further negotiations between the Petersburg School Board and the teachers' union are scheduled at this time. In other regional news, three men are charged in federal court for illegally transporting Alaska crab to sell in Washington. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Alaska says Kyle Potter and Justin Welch caught crab in southeast Alaska this spring and moved them to Seattle at the direction of Potter's dad, Corey. The federal indictment says Corey Potter owns the two fishing vessels involved, which were run by his son Kyle and Welch. One of the boats is a 97-foot Arctic Dawn that's been docked in Petersburg this spring but is registered to a Kodiak residence. The two captains participated in the Southeast Tanner and Golden King crab fisheries in February and March, harvesting over 7,000 pounds. Corey Potter allegedly directed the two captains to transport the crab to Seattle to fetch a higher price. By the time they arrived, a lot of the king crab was already dead, and about 4,000 pounds of Tanner had to be thrown out because of bitter crab syndrome. Bitter crab is a common parasite that is sorted out at Alaska ports when fishermen sell their catch. It causes the crab to taste bad but isn't harmful. The federal indictment says Kyle Potter and Welch never recorded their harvests at and Alaska port, which is required by state law. And they took the undocumented crab through Canadian and Washington waters, which is against a federal law called the Lacey Act. Corey Potter is being charged in federal court with two counts of unlawfully transporting fish or wildlife. Kyle Potter and Justin Welch are being charged with one count each of the same thing. Their first court appearance is set for May 2nd in U.S. District Court in Anchorage. Attorneys for the men are not listed in the federal indictment. The U.S. Attorney's Office would not make any further comments. And in other regional news, communities in southern Southeast Alaska lost power for a few hours Thursday due to a failure along the power grid in Ketchikan. Wrangell, Ketchikan, and Petersburg all lost power around noon because they're all connected to the same power system. Jeremy Bynum, the electric division manager for Ketchikan Public Utilities, says the outage was caused by a failed part on a power pole near the Landing Hotel in Ketchikan, which caused a fire to spark. Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Petersburg received most of their electricity from hydropower dam projects at Swan Lake near Ketchikan and Tyee Lake near Wrangell feed power to the communities through a massive inner tie. Those hydropower projects are managed by the Southeast Alaska Power Agency, or SEPA, a utilities coalition serving the three communities. Robert Seidman is the CEO. He says that when they contained the fire in Ketchikan, it took down the whole system.
And that whole fire, when it was isolated, it caused Tyee generators to go offline, Swan generators to go offline, Petersburg to go offline, and Wrangell to go offline, and Ketchikan to go offline. It was a complete system collapse due to that pole fire.
Seidman says the regional outage started at the Tyee Lake generator. He says you can think of it like a train. The generator is the engine and hauls the heavy part of the power load. When Ketchikan Public Utilities cut power to isolate the pole fire, they removed a bunch of the load from the system, but the brakes on the speeding train were calibrated for more.
Tyee Lake had to try and slow down, and it ended up going negative in megawatts instead of producing megawatts. It went negative because it had to slow down that train because it was overspeeding, and then it tripped.
As of 2 p.m. Thursday, power in Wrangell and Petersburg was restored. When SEPA got word from Ketchikan Public Utilities that their workers had repaired the pole, they were able to bring Ketchikan back onto the grid. That wraps up our local segment. And next is All Things Considered. Thank you so much, everybody, for the donations for our pledge drive this week. And you can continue making donations at kstk.org and at the radio station phone number 907-874-2345.